Good morning, members. I'm sorry for the delay. I'd like to call the meeting of the House Environment Natural Resources Policy and Finance Committee to order. We have the minutes before us. From March 15th.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Heintzman. Minutes before us, all those in favor of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the minutes are before us. Passed. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move a five-minute recess.
Five-minute recess having been called, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we're in recess for 5 minutes. Order the call of the chair.
Good morning, bud.
Okay. Okay, I'd like to reconvene the meeting of the Environment, Natural Resources, Policy, and Finance Committee. Today's date is March 14th, I believe. No, 15th. Okay, so, Representative Heintzman, would you like to, we have House File 1265 before us, and you have a DE amendment?
Yes.
Representative Heintzman. Representative Heintzman, okay. Representative Hansen?
And Mr. Chair, we would ask for a roll call on the DE amendment.
Yep. Right. Representative Heintzman, would you like to move your DE amendment, please?
I would.
Okay. Roll call having been requested, the chair votes aye.
Heintzman?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Backer? Becker Finn?
No.
Bliss?
Yes.
Clark?
No.
Cornish?
Aye.
Eklund?
No.
Fisher?
No.
Green?
No.
Hoppe?
Aye.
Hornstein?
No.
Johnson V?
Aye.
Johnson C?
No.
Lehman?
Aye.
Lewick?
Aye.
Metza?
No.
Neuberger?
Aye.
Sundin?
No.
Torkelson?
Aye.
Uglum?
Aye.
Wagenius?
No.
Swiedzinski?
Aye.
There being 12 ayes and 11 nays, the amendment is adopted. Representative Heintzman, you have the bill in the sheet that you would like it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Proceed.
All right. Director Thornton is going to do a brief walkthrough section by section.
Go ahead. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Thank you to you and your staff for the work you do.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my name is Susan Thornton. I'm the director of the LCCMR, Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. And other staff here today are Michael McDonough behind us, Michael Varian, and then Diana Griffith is back in our office in room 65 where we are housed around the corner. And then also here today is co-chair Jeff Broberg, who's back behind us also. And Mr. Chair and members, in your packet, just want to point this out, of the material in your packet, briefly go over that, little background on the trust fund, and then the process that the LCCMR went through, if that's okay. So in your packet, members, and I would like to also acknowledge current and former LCCMR members, current members, in addition to Representative Heintzman, Representative Wagenius, Representative Eklund, Representative Hoppe, Representative Neuberger. And then former members include Representative Torkelson and yourself, Mr. Chair. So, again, back to the packet here. What's here is our summary of our biennial report, which was submitted to the legislature on January 15th. This is the four-page summary of accomplishments in the last biennium, some project highlights, and then also a summary of the commission recommendations for 2017. It is the summary version of what's in this book here and posted on the website. So we think people appreciate the shorter version. And then also, Mr. Chair, in here is a pie chart which shows the process the commission went through and the allocations and recipients and for the commission's advice, what was in the original introduced House File 1265. And then also, Mr. Chair, the original House File 1265, totaling $59,156,000. There is a summary in your packet of that. And then, again, as originally introduced, House File 1265, a map of the acquisitions, both fee title and easement that are in the bill, and then a list of members. And members, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund was first constitutionally dedicated in 1988. It is from 40% of the net lottery proceeds. And then that averages about $32 million a year that goes into the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. And then that is invested by the State Board of Investment. It was reaffirmed two other times, most recently 1998. So it sits as an endowment in the state treasury. And what's available to spend each year of the biennium, as constitutionally stated, is up to 5.5%. And so on June 30th of the even year of the biennium. So the amount available this biennium is determined by the market value as of June 30th, and that was $924 million this past June 30th. The trust fund market value is over $950 million at this time. So that's just kind of that. I know there's a few new members on here to provide that background. The LCCMR is made up of 17 members advisory to the legislature for expenditures from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. There are five House members, five Senate members, and seven appointed non-legislative members that provide that. And, Mr. Chair, would you like me to, unless there are any other questions, to briefly go through the subdivisions, or that's before you, and obviously it's been amended, so I will proceed as you wish.
Yes. I think, Ms. Thornton, what I would do is just walk through the DE one amendment, okay? Yeah, and in a fairly high level look at that.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, subdivision, dollars appropriated in total is $8,428,000 from fiscal year 17 dollars available. Those are the dollars that are the result of the governor's vetoes last year. So those can be appropriated this year as long as they're appropriated within this fiscal year. And then for fiscal year 28 spending, that amount is $50,828,000. Subdivision 3 is foundational natural resource data and information. And in the DE amendment, that totals $9,878,000, and there are nine appropriations within that, focusing on groundwater mapping, County Geologic Atlas, Minnesota Biologic Survey, habitat protection, updating drainage records, landslide management tools, and a unique project on the use of unmanned, essentially drones, to monitor moose populations and ecosystem resources. Mr. Chair, subdivision 4 is water resources. that now totals $284,000. There are 8 appropriations in there. That's essentially for research and assessment on surface water, chemicals of emerging concern, release of mercury and sulfur from peatlands on aquatic resources, improvement of technologies for water quality, including nitrogen removal and wastewater, biological monitoring in trout streams, and maximizing water reuse. And then also estimating groundwater storage for improved water management. Subdivision 5, environmental education, is at $2,817,000. There are 3 appropriations. In the amendment, science-based water recreational experiences, that includes wilderness inquiry, floating classrooms that you'll see out on the Mississippi with the kids, and some residential environmental learning centers, mentorships and internships at the agencies with the goal of providing those opportunities to students. Subdivision 6, aquatic and terrestrial invasive species. This is not changed by the DE amendment. There's $4,721,000 appropriated here for 6 recommendations, and this includes expanding the efforts and the research support for the Minnesota Aquatic Invasive Species Research Center, continue to monitor invasive bighead and silver carp and native fish populations, and some research on various new stream barrier technology to remove common carp, implementation of emerald ash borer biocontrol, control of invasive cattails, and management plan for terrestrial invasive species. Mr. Chair, Subdivision 7 is at $1,700,000. There are 2 appropriations, including a centralized biomass heating system to support sustainable forest management at Camp Ripley Training Center, and the distribution of air, monitoring the distribution of air pollutants in urban areas. Subdivision 8, methods to protect or restore land, water, and habitat, now totals $31,359,000. There are 11 recommendations here for enhancing habitat for pollinators and game birds, optimizing roadside plantings, prescribed burns, assessment of wave energy on shorelines to improve spawning habitat, restoration of uplands, wetlands, and shorelands, and then implementation of the dollars for the federal match for Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. The original commission LCCMR recommendation was at $6 million. This bill has it at $21.1 million. There are 2 appropriations in this section now. Subdivision 9, land acquisition, habitat, and recreation. This is for $4,857,000, 4 appropriations for state trail development and enhancement in southern Minnesota, continued development of the Mesabi Trail in northern Minnesota, trail and water access in the city of Tower, acquisition by Crane Lake Township for campground access and access to Voyageurs National Park. And then Subdivision 10 is the administration, and that's $1,340,000, 3 appropriations for the LCCMR administration, the LCC website, legacy website, and then to DNR for reimbursement.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then there's also our traditional rider language in the back of the bill, which you have seen before on sort of the do's and don'ts related to these appropriations and payment. There are 2 statutory changes also, Mr. Chair. One is to allow more flexibility in the reporting on these appropriations. There are approved work plans for each of these appropriations as adopted by the legislature and signed into law, and we want to do that Right now, they have to be done semi-annually. We'd like to have the flexibility to do some of them annually. It takes a little more efficient for staff and for the project managers, the recipients in many cases. And then there's also a statutory change to clarify that the commissioner of DNR does not need to approve acquisitions from the Metropolitan Parks and Open Space Commission. So, Mr. Chair, in summary, I believe I hit the highlights of the bill, what was in the DE amendment.
Thank you. Representative Paintsman.
We have some other testifiers. Dr. Bill Faber's on the list. I'm sorry. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Thornton. I just want to receive this handout about the state parks land acquisition, and I, you know, trying to make sure I see this in the bill. Are these park acquisitions, can you point to me, where the, are they still part of the bill?
No.
Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, no, they're no longer in the bill as amended. What's remaining on this map in the bill as amended is the acquisition, the town of Crane Lake in St. Louis County, the 29 acres.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple questions for the author, and it relates to a couple projects that were taken out in the DE amendment. The first one is found on page 7, lines 11 to 22, and this is something we took out last time, and I was very concerned about it last time. And
Representative Hornstein, just for clarification, are you working off the DE? Or are you,
this is on the original bill.
Okay, thank you.
It was deleted, so
no, I'm
sorry about that, Mr. Chair. On the original bill, page 7, lines 11 to 22, and that's the climate data to aid local planning implementation efforts. And then on page 10 and 11, the bottom of page 10, the top of 11, page 10, lines 29 through 36, page 11, lines 1 and 2 is a youth climate initiative. So I guess I'm wondering, Chair Heintzman, why did you take those two projects out?
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. And first, I'd like to thank you for the upgrade.
You did get a promotion.
Not a chair.
He's chaired a few times. He's chaired a few times.
I appreciate that. As you know, that there is some differences of opinion on some of these particular items. And in order to try and move this bill forward, we had to make some adjustments.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Horst.
So, Representative Heintzman, I think you're referring to the differences of opinion on whether there is actual scientific validity to climate change. Is that what you're referring to?
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. This is another one of those questions that comes up, and I'm not sure if it's kind of a gotcha where we try to get into a huge discussion about climate change. You know, and I'm really not into, you know, that kind of a discussion. I think that it's reasonable to bring it up, and I appreciate the question. I don't think that anyone here is saying that there is or isn't a climate change. I think we're just trying to find a path forward.
Representative Hornstein.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that, you know, I would just want to make a point that I've made again, and I'll just make it again, because this keeps coming up. And that is, you know, the science is in, and even when we last discussed this, there's even more evidence piling up, not only that climate change is real and caused by people, but it's accelerating. And so we have one of the foremost scientists and meteorologists in the state, Mark Seeley, has put this project together, the one that was deleted from page 7. And what this is doing, we have had a lot of input from local communities that agree that the state should be helping out with local impacts that they're going to be paying for, that they're going to be feeling because of increased drought, increased floods, very extreme weather events that we can attribute to a changing climate. And so they're looking for ways in which they can respond to this. And so we have a simple project that is looking at infrastructure and human health and other impacts that's being deleted. And then the second one is, you know, related to youth. And I think our youth are telling us in no uncertain terms, do something. We are the ones that are going to feel the effects of this. And what were you doing in the early 21st century when it became very, very clear that the science was in and the climate was changing and that there were detrimental effects? And so our youth is saying to us, help us get organized, help us understand. And so this is, you know, under the category of environmental education. And what could be more appropriate for environmental education than that Will Steger project? So I'm very disappointed. This is one of the reasons I voted against this DE1. And then, you know, we won't get into all the details, but I've counted at least five projects related to solar that have been deleted. And we know that solar is now increasingly popular, increasingly viable as an alternative. We have a growing solar industry in our state that's employing a lot of Minnesotans. And to delete five solar projects, I think, is also unconscionable. So, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to point this out. And you know, we cannot continue to deny the reality of climate change. And I think, unfortunately, we've done that yet again in this bill.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, sometimes the legislative process can be confusing for those watching at home. And I want to kind of make sure we're clear describing what's happened here this morning. There was a DE1 amendment, so that essentially fundamentally changed the bill by stripping out a number of projects that were recommended by the Citizens Commission. Taking the dollars that were recommended for appropriation and providing it to the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, something I support the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. I think most of our team does. However, we also, and that's why you had a vote here on the DE1, where the things that are being taken out are, as Representative Hornstein said, any climate study, any climate activity, any solar thing. And then, following up with what Representative Johnson asked, all but one acquisition. So scientific and natural areas, state parks, state trails, those acquisitions were taken out. And then citizen involvement, youth involvement in a variety of things, those were taken out. So here we go again in terms of making some of those changes. And Mr. Chair, you know, last year, and I think when the clean water dollars went through, I have been making a point that there are differences between citizen commission recommendations and stakeholder recommendations. And so our side voted for conservation reserve enhancement following the governor's recommendation on CREP in the Clean Water Fund. And your side has voted with the Citizen Commission to strip these projects out. So I think it's important for people watching at home or those in the audience to know what's going on here and why we had a vote. There wasn't much debate on a delete all amendment. But, and I don't know, Mr. Chair, maybe this is a question. Is there in the handouts a spreadsheet of those projects that are stripped out, or is it just the DE1? I know we have the spreadsheet from March 15th in the morning, but was there one for the public to see, the spreadsheet of the projects that were stripped out?
We don't have the Representative Hansen. We do not have the stripped out ones, but you know, people can track back and forth between the two, and you pointed them out. I will point out for the people who are watching at home, in terms of youth and climate change and so forth, when you look at Subdivision 5 and Subdivision 7, people at home and in the audience were spending $4.5 million on that, on those types of things. So it's not like There's nothing left in this bill in subdivision 5 and 7. Those projects are still there. And as you said, the CREP program, I mean, this is a program that, you know, with respect to the Legislative Citizens Commission, they finished their work, I believe, in early November. In early January, Governor Dayton signed the information with regards to the CREP and signed the agreement in January. It's an emerging issue. I don't think that we necessarily can anticipate what emerging issues might be. And for a lot of people, the CREP program is very important. And I applaud Vice Chair Heintzman for the work that he's done on this to deal with an issue that a lot of people care about. Representative Hoppe, a question or comment?
Mr. Chair, thank you. You just said a lot of what I was going to say. I'm new on LCCMR, but I've been on the Environment Committee before, and I'm not generally in favor of overriding what they come up with. But I think had they known that this was coming, and I wasn't on the commission then, but I think if I were, and I think they were, had they known this, there would have been more money in the bill for CREP. I think CREP is kind of a, not necessarily a one-time, but sort of a time urgent thing if we're going to get the federal match. And that's why I voted for the amendment and support the bill as amended.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know who to ask, maybe staff, but is it possible to bond for CREP?
I believe it is, but okay. Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, and it has been done in the past.
Okay, thank you. Representative Johnson.
Well, you know, this CREP, you know, is obviously something that's important and is central to what we're doing with water quality in rural Minnesota. And I would hope that the majority would take opportunities for other places, including bonding, to aggressively go after it. You know, this is a case where we have an opportunity to match federal dollars. And, you know, when we pit CREP in a zero-sum game, in this case, I watched an important land acquisition in Brewerth County disappear today from this bill. Minneopolis State Park is flourishing because of their bison herd. It's on the edge of Mankato. And the bison were introduced there a couple of years ago, and traffic is heavy through there, but they're in a prescribed space, and it needs more area. And this is something that is really a key destination now in our region. And to pit CREP against that, I'm not so sure. I think we can do better. So I'd hope that you would use your influence with the bonding chair and see if we can't get CREP into the bonding bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Johnson and members. CREP can be bonded for, and there is a CREP bonding bill this year, and I am hoping to have a hearing on that. So we'll take the money wherever we can get it for CREP. I think it's important.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think talking about CREP, there aren't many opportunities for targeted acquisition for science like there are in the LCCMR. And some of the things that were taken out are native prairie stewardship and native prairie bank easements, Leech Lake acquisition, metropolitan regional parks. It looks like a lot of urban projects have been taken out as well. But I think...
I'm not sure that Walker, Minnesota is urban, but...
Well, I see the Great River Greening and some of the others are out, but...
It is in central Minnesota, I admit that.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Thornton, could you talk a little bit about those, what the process was in the committee on picking the acquisitions that were, I mean, it doesn't seem like when we have outdoor heritage or clean water that we're doing prairie bank easements or metropolitan parks or some of those things. So this is the one pool that provides for connecting or inholdings. Is that what was in, maybe just enlighten us a little bit about what those targeted acquisitions were.
Ms. Thornton, you can answer the question, but would also ask you if you know anything about what other sources of funding Met Council Regional Parks has outside of LCCMR.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, and I failed to mention that the original part of the process was in response to an RFP. 195 proposals were received, and the commission went through a multi-step process, had hearings on 88 of those proposals totaling about $86 million, 6 days of hearings, and 69 of those proposals were eventually recommended to the legislature from the trust fund. And the commission has, if I may, tried to be very targeted in its recommendations for acquisition. So there were there was $1.5 million in here for state park in holdings, including Maplewood State Park, Minneopa State Park, Sibley State Park, William O'Brien, and that was about 373 acres, and that's off the DNR's priority acquisition list. And these state park boundaries are all set by the legislature, so these in-holdings have been set by the legislature, and these are all from willing sellers. The state scientific and natural area program, this includes restoration and acquisition, and again, those are unique properties identified in statute as a criteria of SNA acquisition, what properties that meet those are identified through the county biologic survey. That acquisition was approximately 250 acres. It was about about a third of the appropriation. And the commission in its action did direct from the proposal, it was a larger proposal, that two-thirds of these dollars go for restoration and one-third for acquisition. And then the Native Prairie Bank easement program, again, 335 acres of that amount, approximately $1.6 million, but also the remainder of those dollars would have gone for monitoring of current easements, technical assistance, restoration, and so forth. Metropolitan Regional Parks, this was for, again, acquisitions as identified as top priorities through the Metropolitan Parks and Open Space Commission and the 10 implementing agencies that oversee that. And that was going to be approximately 97 acres. And that one is strict just acquisition. And in response to Chair Fabian's question about other sources, I believe there are also bonding dollars that are often proposed for Metropolitan Regional Parks acquisition. But in this case, the commission has said we really want to focus on ecologically natural resource, scenic area, and trail connectivity for the Metropolitan Regional Parks system. And then Crane Lake acquisition is 45 acres of unique shoreline, a peninsula that abuts other state lands and federal forest lands. And there is the Cass County Board did pass a resolution in support of this acquisition. So I hope I hit the answers to your questions.
Thank you. Governor Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Thornton. I'm looking again at the air quality, climate change, and renewable energy, and, you know, as has happened before under Republican control, those projects are stripped out. But I have a specific question about its proposal 150E. It looks like the district heating with renewable biomass at Camp Ripley Training Center. So that was $1 million to the Department of Military Affairs, and that was zeroed out in, or was that retained? Is that the one that was retained?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson. It's in. Page 11.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Heisman, that's the one, and on the urban air quality, those are the ones that were retained out of. The others were solar cells, manufacturing research, community scale energy storage guide, extraction of solar thermal energy, generation, storage, and utilization of solar energy at Morris, geo-targeted distributed clean energy initiative, and then solar-powered robots for weed control at agricultural fields. those ones are the ones that were taken out, but there were two left in? Is that?
From Jim Heinzman or Ms. Barton.
As I mentioned, the Ripley project is in, and what my strategy is here, Representative, and thank you, Mr. Chair, is trying to get a bill through the process and trying to find as much agreement as we possibly can, and to also, in that process, fund the governor's request for PREP. So that's the goal here.
And Mr. Chair, kind of our goal is not just what you pass or passing something, but what's in it and keep, you know, what you're voting for. So passing a bill, I understand the need for the majority to pass the bill. I also see the need for Minnesotans to get a good quality bill, and it seems that the citizens have made a number of recommendations, and what happens here, as has happened in the past, is most things that are climate or solar are taken out. And I think what you're saying, Representative Heinzman, is you can't pass the bill if it's got the solar and climate stuff in it, or most of it. Can't pass the bill if it's got some acquisition in it. Can't pass the bill if it's got some of the urban or some of the...
Mr. Chair?
Let Mr. Hanson, Representative Hanson finish.
And can't pass the bill if it's got some of the citizen engagement. So those things have to come out and then be reallocated to something that almost everybody wants.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and I apologize, Representative Hanson. I thought there was a pause there. I certainly can speak for myself on the issue, and as I mentioned, I am doing the very best I can to move my bill through the process. And, you know, part of this is the citizens, as you mentioned. In each one of us, we go back to our districts and we get feedback from them on what they would like to see happen on issues that come to the legislature. And you hit doorsteps just like I hit doorsteps. And they have some concerns and they have some things that they are wanting to see and are critical and important to them. We're trying to represent those things as best we can here.
Okay. Representative Martinez.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify that you said that the governor made a request for CREP. He did not make a request that CREP be funded out of these dollars. Very specifically, he did not make that request. He made a request for bonding. I believe it was $20 million, and perhaps somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. But that is what the governor requested. He also requested $18 million out of the Clean Water Fund. And this committee did not agree with his request there, sent the bill on with $3 million. So I just don't want any folks who are watching thinking that the governor didn't fully anticipate how he would fund PREP and that this is not what he would do. But I'm going to go back to saying that you are listening to your constituents and this is what they would like to see. And that is super interesting to me and troubling because much of what you cut was for youth education. This, unlike other things that might be funded in bonding, youth education, environment education, can't be funded in bonding. This is one of the few places where it can be funded. Yet, you took out youth education, and that's where you sought your money. And I, you may respond or not respond, but I don't think any constituents at my door would say we don't want to educate youth about environmental issues.
Thank you. Next up, I'd like to have, is it Emmett Mullen come down? Yeah, okay. Mr. Mullen from the council. And then Jeff Groberg will be on deck. Yeah. Mr. Mullen, you've been here before. So I'm going to ask you to keep your comments brief.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your time this morning. Again, I'm Emmett Mullen, the manager at the Metropolitan Council's Regional Parks Unit. I'm here today just to express my concern for House File 1265, the Delete All Amendment, because it zeroes out the Metropolitan Regional Park System's request for $1.5 million for regional park acquisition. As you know, and as you've heard, the regional park system is an amazing resource that brings nature-based outdoor recreation opportunities to millions of Minnesotans every year. Metropolitan Regional Park System has a successful relationship with the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund and the Legislative Commission, Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, because they really provide critical funding for acquisition of parcels within the system. Within the bill, there was a proposal to fund 10 properties totaling 97 acres. This is high quality wooded lands and wetlands with 3 miles of shoreline. All of these acquisitions are within Metropolitan Council approved park and trail master plans. All of these master plans have had public involvement. The final point I'll make, and then I'll be done, is just that the bill not only leaves a $1.5 million hole for our acquisition budget, but it also leaves $1 million on the table because the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund is also matched with regional bonds. So the actual impact is a loss of $2.5 million. So thank you for hearing my concerns today, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer.
You're easy to find.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Broberg, and then Mr. Is it Weeblen? Ben?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
You're welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Jeff Broberg. I'm the current citizen co-chair of the LCCMR. I've been on the commission for 10 years and was on the governor's commission that first established the LCCMR. And by way of background, that process was devised to be nonpartisan in our committee. Dave Bishop and Dennis Osmond, leaders here in the legislature and rules experts, said if we had 10 members, 5 from the House, 5 from the Senate, majority, minority, and citizens, no group could prevail without the help of the other. The senators couldn't, the House members couldn't, the majority couldn't, the citizens couldn't. It was truly a bipartisan effort, and we've tried to maintain that effort through this process. It's a long process and very difficult for people to go through because we put people through the paces. My first encounter with our new chair here, his first comment to me was, I don't know how a lot of these projects got in here. And I think that goes to the fact that there's not much institutional knowledge now with our new members. We have 3 new majority members in the House, never served on this before, and haven't been through the process. But I think it bears looking at what's happened and how the process started for this particular bill. In December of 2015, an RFP was issued to the general public and invited people across Minnesota to come and make applications for the process, and their submittals were due in March of 2016, almost a year ago. And the staff went through a review of those and vetted through those, and we came together as a membership and took those 195 proposals in a book like this that takes a while to go through. It takes me 60 hours to read through these projects. I pride myself in reading every one of them and understanding and writing questions in advance. We ranked those, and we invited 88 in for interviews, half-hour interviews, where our members, legislators, politicians, generalists typically, and the subject experts of the citizens put them through the paces. The thing that I pride myself on is asking questions to reveal what these projects are, to get to the bottom and the heart of how do these things influence Minnesota and our resources. And I think it's interesting to sit through and hear those, and it really presents to us applicants that are the brightest, most motivated, with the most initiative, with some of the best ideas, and we sort through those in a nonpartisan manner to try to come up with this list. It's a process of engagement. It's a lot of work for the applicants in particular. There's blood, sweat, and tears for the applicants in the future of their projects. These are two-year projects to fund a number of people, researchers, or acquisition, or a whole host of things, and it's rigorous, and we take the trust of the state very seriously. This is a duty that we have, and we think the service that we provide to this body is to vet through these things, to take these 195 and sort what we believe to be the wheat from the chaff, and run through a process that is predictable and the applicants can rely on. I'm speaking today in behalf of the citizens against the DE amendment. I understand the politics of what's going on here, I think, and see that the money, almost 25 or 30% of our projects have cut 25 projects that were vetted through this process. I didn't like every one of them. No member probably did like every one of them. But we went through a very deliberative process to come up with a series of recommendations that we think out of that choice best serves the state of Minnesota on a wide range of environmental factors, and I think it's important to bear in mind. The delete amendment takes out these things: birds, youth, the rare and unusual that we have in Minnesota, anything to do with climate, energy, urban restoration, and the land purchases that were developed by the priorities of the agencies that we employ to make those decisions. Those are the things that we've lost to put the money in CREP. I'm a mild supporter of CREP. CREP 2 failed. The last time we did this, 7,000 acres of enrollment. It was a total bust. Landowners weren't signing up for it. It's not timely to put this much money right now into CREP compared to funding the projects that can start in July and have results within the next 2 years. There's no certainty with CREP that we get the 60,000 acres engaged. There's no certainty still that the federal money is going to match, or that the program pulls together, or that landowners are willing to do this. There's so many uncertainties, and yet we're faced with these 25 projects that can start on July 1st and have accomplishments for the state of Minnesota. We identified CREP in our process last year. They came to us with a request for $8 million. We recommended $6 to be held for the administration of this process. We knew CREP was coming. This wasn't an emerging issue. This is something that we saw and we funded, and now 30% of our projects have been cut to do something that should be done out of the general fund. These are dedicated funds. There's constitutional intent and purpose in these funds. There's statutory process that's in place to follow this. And the LCCMR staff's available to assist people through this rigorous process. I'm an environmental consultant. I'm a geologist, professional geologist. And I advise people every day. And I wanted to tell you my impression of good clients and bad clients, and good advisors and bad advisors. Good advisors tell us what to beware of in the future, how to avoid the risks, how to manage our future. The bad advisors tell you what you did wrong when it's over with. I don't have any use for the attorneys that I work with that said you did that all wrong and never advised me in the first place. My best clients are those that study the issues. They know the process. They understand how to make these complicated advice from all of these people come together. My worst clients are those that say, we're going to do it my way. We don't care about all of that. We're going to ignore the process. So, in closing, I see this delete all as a pernicious message by the majority party. It's pernicious in destroying the process, undermining the process of bipartisanism and deliberation that we've gone through and spent many months and many hours. It's pernicious in ignoring the advice of experts, denying science, of looking back instead of looking forward. it's pernicious, and it's diminishing the advice and the work of the committee. We expected better. We had hoped with the new commission that we were going to have good advisors and that we were going to have good clients. The truth is turning out to be something different. I'm against the DE amendment on behalf of the citizens. Thank you.
Next up, Julia Ponder, I believe. Or no, I'm sorry. George Weiblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
Members of the committee. My name is George Weiblin. I'm the science director for the Bell Museum and Planetarium, and I'll be brief. Thank you for the opportunity to express my concerns about a project that has been deleted with the amendment for interactive water resource programming to be developed at the new Bell Museum, which we are now building in St. Paul. That museum has the capacity to develop the kind of programming that can be distributed across our state. Among the projects that have been deleted from the environmental education section, this project has the potential to impact 400,000 Minnesotans across the six planetarium theaters in our state. We develop the programming at the Bell Museum and deploy it to engage youth in understanding our water resources and environmental concerns. Older Minnesotans love the outdoors. Our younger generation is so digitally connected that we risk losing this connection to our environment here. It's programs like the Digital Planetarium, which is an interactive theater that engages the technology that we all live by today, to reconnect young generations to resources in our state, which are so critical. I believe that this project is critical for environment and natural resource education in our state, and I would like to just express my concern that we risk losing the connection to our natural resources and environment that is so important in Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Julia Ponder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee. My name is Julia Ponder. I'm a conservation veterinarian and director of the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota, an organization that is committed to conservation and environmental issues through teaching, research, outreach, and service. First, I want to note that we are a nonprofit working within the university. We operate on philanthropic dollars and earned income, not state dollars. 65% of our operating comes from the community, showing the support for the work we do. Project funding like this is very, very critical. We had two projects in the environmental education portion deleted from with the DE, but my words are actually for all environmental education projects that were deleted. Environmental issues are among the most critical that are facing our society in the coming decades. It's important to take action now, and we absolutely have to prepare for the future, for the next generation. None of us will be around to solve all the environmental issues that are coming down the turnpike. We need engaged citizens and scientists, and we must invest in them. Best practices for environmental education is multiple touches, more than a one-time experience, and experiential learning. Both of our projects were built on these platforms. For example, expanding Raptor Center online education was about bridging the classroom, formal classroom learning, with outdoor learning. It takes a very successful middle school program and expands it as was requested by the RFP. It uses a charismatic topic of birds, far more than just raptors, but charismatic topic of birds to engage students and builds on established citizen science and integrates environmental education and outdoor experiential learning. As Representative Virginia said, youth education cannot be funded through bonding. We have to invest in our future. I agree with the chairman that we have to be able to anticipate emerging issues. The way we can anticipate emerging issues long-term is to invest in our youth and their education. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ponder. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Ponder, if I have a question.
All right. That's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like the Raptor Center gets zeroed out every time. How many more times will you keep applying if the legislature keeps zeroing out the raptors there?
I'm sure you're as persistent as a raptor, but Ms. Ponder?
Thank you, Representative Hansen and Chairman. I guess I have not considered that. You're right. We have been taken out many times, which is why I pointed out that we are not funded by the state. We are funded by philanthropy, and so projects like this are important. We will continue trying as long as we believe that there's an opportunity and a possibility. The possibility does come into question.
President Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think optimism is important. I'm not sure if I would be as optimistic as you are, but I do think that Minnesotans value the Raptor Center. I think that Minnesotans like the work you do. They see it as a highly valuable thing, but there just seems to be a problem here, and not quite sure why that always is, but I would encourage you to keep trying, and that know that people like the work you do, and I think you know that already.
Thank you, Representative Hansen.
Thank you. I see the Moose Man showed up. You're on our list to testify, Mr. Faber. I know you've driven a long way. No, you really haven't. Compared to the chair, you have not driven a long way, but that's okay. It's good to see you again. You had a little suntan. How'd that happen?
I started out this color.
Okay. Mr. Faber, you're here to testify, obviously. We do have other things pressing.
Yep.
So I'd encourage you to keep your comments kind of short. I know you're a gifted orator, so.
Yeah. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Bill Faber. I wouldn't emphasize the doctor too much. I run the Natural Resources Program at Central Lakes College in Brainerd. I just came down from Brainerd. I apologize I wasn't here at the light of dawn, but I made it. I don't have anything prepared or anything. Obviously, I dress the way I dress. I always tell my students that you should choose a job that allows you to dress how you like to dress, so that's why I dress this way. I've been on the LCCMR as a governor's appointee for, this will be my fifth year. Nice to see you again, Representative. We worked together the first couple of years, so I'm going to address all of you. I belong to one party. It's not political. It's called conservation. You know, and this commission was set up to be nonpartisan. We, as Jeff so eloquently said, and I'm probably not as eloquent as he is, I swear too much and that sort of thing, but I'm passionate about this. This isn't a job for me. This is what I do. I've been in this business for 40 years. When I say business, conservation, when I started as an undergraduate in college in 1979, and this isn't about me. This is about the process. As Jeff already discussed, I spent, if I look at the time when I'm allowed time off of college to participate in the LCCMR, by the way, nice to see you, Gene, 15 or 20 full days. We don't get paid. We get maybe some reimbursement. I invest my heart and soul as all of the members. I'm not saying I'm any different than any others. And we go through this process, and we present our recommendations. I understand that at the end of the day, and I've already spoken with Representative Heinzman and so on, you know, that we want to see, you know, what we've put through because it's been vetted and so on. And it's disappointing, would be an understatement, to see that then one third of our projects are eliminated. However that is, I understand it's a political process and so on. I'm just here to say that I'm totally against, as I'm sure many of the citizen members are, as Jeff already stated, that we're against this DE or whatever it's called. I could go on and on. I'm trying to be respectful and not, but that's what I'm here for. It's because we've gone through this process, and you know well, because you've already been through it, and I saw Paul Torkelson was here. I know all of the people. I've had good relationships with all of the people, and I hope that continues, but I'm still against that DE amendment. Thanks for the time.
It's good to see you again.
Thanks, Representative.
How are the moose doing up north?
Good. How are the elk in the northwest?
Good. We got lots of them. Okay, next, there's some amendments. We'll do the A-10. Representative Becker-Finn.
Just got here in the nick of time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We knew that.
The A-10 amendment would add the request from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe Division of Resource Management. Essentially, they're asking for acquisition funds to purchase a piece of land with some historical significance for the tribe, and I think all Minnesotans, so I'd like to see that added back in.
Thank you. Discussion to the 810. All those in favor of the 810 signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? The 810 is adopted. Oops, I'm sorry. Yep. Okay, next is the 87. Representative Eklund, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I put the Citizens Project in Voyageurs National Park setting wolf predation on beaver, moose, and deer, and with the moose issue that we have in northern Minnesota, they're already gone from the chairman's district, so that's pretty much. So I think it's a good study in an area that there's no human hunting that's allowed, and see exactly what's going on.
Thank you. Discussion to the A7. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A7 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The A7 is adopted. Next, Reed Hansen, the A8.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I think we also may need at the end of the process, because the amendments that were just adopted, I think, depending on how many amendments are adopted, we may need a technical correction for the reviser.
I'm sure the staff. Yep. Thank you.
I would move the, this is one of the climate projects. It's only $300,000 from the trust fund. I think it would be a good project to put back in.
Thank you. Discussion to the A8. All those in favor of the A8 signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no.
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 The amendment does not prevail. Next, we have the A9, I believe, Governor Wagenius.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The youth in this bill got hit hard, and this is one of the few opportunities in the state to do youth education. So that's why I'm putting A9 back in. It was the least expensive of the youth one. And, Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to ask for a roll call on this one.
Okay. Roll call hadn't been requested. Chair votes no.
Hansen.
No.
Hansen.
Yes.
Becker.
No.
Becker Finn.
Yes.
Bliss.
No.
Clark.
Yes.
Cornish.
No.
Eklund.
Yes.
Fisher.
Yes.
Green.
No.
Hoppe.
No.
Hornstein.
Yes.
Johnson B.
No.
Johnson C.
Yes.
Lehman.
No.
Lewick.
No.
Metza.
Yes.
Neuberger. Sundin.
Yes.
Swidzinski.
No.
Torkelson.
No.
Uglum.
No.
Wagenius.
Yes.
Okay, there being 10 ayes and 13 nays, the amendment does not prevail. We have no further amendments. Representative Hansen, and then we'll go to Ms. Taylor. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You know, I think we've seen this show before. It happens whenever the Republicans are in charge. We see changes to the LCCMR. At least this time there's not proposals on changing the employment or the structure. So I guess that's a good thing. But environmental education, a lot of projects removed. Some scientific acquisitions, projects removed. solar projects removed, climate projects removed. And it's not like there wasn't an alternative to find dollars for the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. We've had bills move through where there were options. I'm sure there will be other bills that have options. But we heard compelling testimony from folks who participated in the process, citizens, not stakeholders, who said they worked hard, and it's not just working hard. It's providing an outcome in projects that are meeting the intent of the lottery dollars when people voted for the lottery, when they voted for that loon that appears in the advertising. Environmental education involves Minnesotans. Solar helps light the path to the future for Minnesotans. Scientific acquisitions protect treasures that could be lost. And climate change acknowledges reality. We're not there today. So although CREP is important, I will be voting no on this. I think there's work to be done here, valuable work, and I would hope for Minnesotans that we would do the right thing and put back these projects.
Thank you. Representative Heintzman, final comments on your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been a good debate, a lot of conversation, and I would just like to quickly mention just a few things. There's been, like I said, some discussion, and some of that has been around projects that were removed, and I just want to quickly mention some of the things that are there. Connecting youth to Minnesota waterways through the outdoor classrooms. Increasing diversity in environmental careers. Increasing residential environmental learning center opportunities. Aquatic Invasive Species Research Center, Phase 2. Emerald ash borer, biocontrol. Invasive bighead and silver carp and native fish evaluation. There's a lot of great things in this bill, and it's worth supporting. There's been some discussion about the process. This is part of the process. This stop in the Environment Policy Natural Resource Finance Committee is a stop. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak to the bill. And I would renew my motion to refer House File 1265
as amended.
Thank you. As amended. Thank you.
Yeah. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Members? We're adjourned. Thank you.